responsible.
This coming Shabbos in the Parshas Kisavo, so we will read for the second time the Tochacha, the terrible retribution and the curses that befall Bnei Yisrael and the Jewish people as a whole if we don't follow Hashem's will. There is a, as we know, there's different minhagim regarding how it's read, who it gets read to, and who gets the aliyah, all these different types of things. So let's try to cover all of that and try to make sure we're prepared, I guess, unfortunately, for the way it's going to be read. Says the Gemara in Megillah and Daf Lamed Aleph, Amud Beis. The Gemara is telling us that about the reading and the placement of the Tochacha in the cycle of the year has meaning behind it. It's specifically placed in the cycle at this point of the year and before Shavuos. Why? Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer. Ezra Tikeh Lahem Yisrael. Ezra established for the Jewish people. Sheyu Korin Klolos Shebetoras Kohanim Kodem Atzeres. Ezra set up that we would read the Tochacha before the holiday of Shavuos. Ushav Mishnah Torah Kodem Rosh Hashanah. And we would read it again in Dvarim, this week's Parsha, before Rosh Hashanah. My timer, what's the reason? Amar Abaye, Abaye says, V'itema Reish Lakish, some say Reish Lakish, Kadei Shetichla Hashanah B'kil Losah. So that the year should end and the curses should be done. We should get the curses out of the way, we should finish it off, and we should not have to think about them anymore. It's this sense of finishing off, removing them, and not ending totally on a bad note. That's why Tosfos and Bava Basra says we don't read the Tochacha on the last Shabbos of the year because we don't want to end on such a sad note. We save it to the second last Shabbos and get it out of the way, and then before we should be done as the as it ends. Now, the Achronim asked a question. Rabbi Yaakov Emden has a Perush on Masecha Sofrim, and others asked this as well. This works wonderfully for Bavel, where they would read on the annual cycle, but we know that in Eretz Yisrael, they read a triannual cycle. They would read through the Torah every 3 years. So how does it match up? It's not possible that the Tochacha is going to come out at those times if you're reading it once every 3 years. So the Achronim answer that by Parsha of Kisavo and by the Tochacha in Vayikra, what they would do is they would have a special maftir. They would bring out another Torah, just like you have Shabbos Zachor and Parah and all those things. There would be Shabbos Parshas Tochacha. And they would schlep out another Torah to read it for that Parsha. So it didn't match up according to the natural reading, but they would bring out a Torah to fulfill this Takana of Ezra HaSofer. This is cited by the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah and Yud Gimel Beis. Ezra Tikeh Lahem Yisrael Sheyu Korin Klolos Shebesefer Vayikra. We read the curses of Vayikra Kodem Atzeres before Shavuos, Ushav Mishnah Torah Kodem Rosh Hashanah, and before Rosh Hashanah as well. And this is the Halacha. This is what the Jewish people do. Now, let's go through the different people. Let's first discuss the Baal Koreh. Who should or should not read the Tochacha? Who should the Baal Koreh be? So the Or Zaruah writes in the Chilak Aleph and Siman Kuf Yedaleh. V'chassid ha'gadol ma'ori v'rebi rabbeinu Yehuda ha'chassid. Our Rebbe, the Rabbi Yehuda ha'chassid, told me, Amar li, shitzarech shaliach tzibor liyos ahov l'tzibor. The Baal Koreh, here he means Baal Koreh, should be someone who is beloved by the congregation. Shimlo kein kashikorin tochacha, because if someone who is not beloved by the congregation reads the tochacha, he lemish eino havo, he may have in mind, you know, I don't like this guy back in the corner of the shul, I hope I have him in mind when I'm reading the tochacha. The amarli, and he said to me as well, shim adam yodea shachazin eino havo, if the person knows that the Baal Koreh doesn't like him, shim yikro so betochacha yizar al yamod, and he gets called up for the aliyah for the tochacha, perhaps he shouldn't take it. Ki kashel im yamod, because maybe he's not going to be having him in mind when he's reading the Tochacha, and that would certainly be awkward for everyone involved. Okay, now the Or Zaruah wants to use this as a general proof that the Tzibur can oppose the Baal Koreh. This is where, why is he saying this? The Tzibur is allowed to oppose who's the Baal Koreh going to be. That he has a general discussion about can we decide who we want to lane or not, and he uses this as a proof that the congregation does have the right to say, I don't want this person to lane, or I do want that person to lane.
Even a regular week,
even on a regular week. This is one of his proofs regarding that discussion. This is also brought in the Tshuvas of the Ma'aril and Siman Tzadi Zayin, and it's Saiba Halacha by the Rama, Nun Gimel Yotes. So Mishu Sone L'Shtat Tzibor, Lo Yala L'Sefer Torah, K'Shekor Tochacha. One, if the Tzibor does not love this person, he is not beloved by them, or he doesn't love them, he should not read when it comes to Tochacha. This is the Halacha L'maisi. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat Nun Ches, so he cites the Knesset HaGadolah who says, Yoser Tov Shiyala Mishikanes La'onesh Mishvil Shuhu Mevazah Kavod HaTorah. So the Knesset HaGadolah says, if you're called for the Aliyah and you're not on good terms with the Baal Koreh, he says it's preferable to take the aliyah than to walk out and be mevazeh the Torah. They call Yamod, and it's you, and you come up, and so you're gonna. What are you gonna do? I know he hates me, but well, should I walk out? So the Mishnah Berurah says, take the aliyah, and it's not proper covet of Torah to leave when you're called up for the aliyah. And he says, V'chem b'sefer shari Ephraim v'zel shonon tzorech shia ahav latzibor v'hu ahavam, they should love one another. V'im eira shahakori yesh lo sinah al echem etzibor, if it turns out that if somebody is not beloved by the tzibor, motal ahaskan shal yitzav l'kros v'zel l'pashatocha. It's the gabbai's responsibility to make sure that the Baal Koreh is a good guy that everyone likes. V'pnei shesakonehi, it's dangerous if it's not the case. If you know that the Baal Koreh hates you, you're not in good terms with him, and you have a strong feeling that you're going to get the aliyah, then go out between the aliyahs. Not when the Torah is open. That would not be appropriate when you're already called up. But if you have a feeling that, you know, Chamishi Shishi is coming up and it's getting closer to you and you think they're going to call you, better to walk out. They'll call somebody else. And you'll come back in for the aliyah. And if you get called up, at least for the Kavanah Torah, that will give you Shomer Mitzvah L'Yedid Avara. Okay, at least you honored the Torah, you took the aliyah, maybe that will protect you as well. And just a warning for the Baal Koreh, you're not allowed to have anyone in mind when you're reading the curses. That's just not nice. And it's usher, says the Mishnah Berurah.
I understand the sympathy, but when is it saying the Mishnah Berurah is saying here that you can't do it this time?
Yeah.
When can you ever do it?
I don't think he's saying this time. I think he's giving you a warning. I hear you're correct. The Gemara in Brachos and Dafes says that if you leave between aliyahs, it's not a bizayon to the Torah. So this is what the Mishnah Berurah is basing it on. It's not a bizayon if nothing's going on at that moment. And then that will be fine. Now let's turn now to the Ola. Who should get the Aliyah? This is a big discussion amongst the shuls, what the Minhagim are. Let's go through all the Minhagim. The first Minhag is brought by the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah writes in Tafel Ches Yizayin. Tafel Ches is where they're talking about the Seder of the year and the moon and the cycles, and therefore at that point the Shulchan Aruch decides to talk about, you know, the rules for Kriyas HaTorah and Haftorahs and things like that. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, the Mishnah Berurah says the minhag is that the Baal Koreh takes the aliyah himself. It's proper of afilim hu kohen, even if he's a kohen, yachol likros mitchilas parshas b'chukosai ad achar hatochacha. So he says if you're a kohen and you're the Baal Koreh, simply read from the beginning of the parsha until the end of the tochacha, one long aliyah.
Because combined, you can't do that.
What?
Because it's combined, you can't do that.
Correct.
True, 100%.
So he's saying just for this parshas b'chukosai, or in this week's parshas b'savo, start at the beginning for the kohen into the Baal Koreh, and just keep on going until you finish the tochacha. Uminyan akruim yashlim misham ve'ela, and there are other six you'll finish up afterwards. The parshas b'savo yitzamsen shishtalim minyan akruim ad sham v'hu yachron, or you can make it the achron. And you'll call seven, and you'll be the Achron Parshas Kisavo. Either way, says the Mishnah Berurah, if you're the Kohen, even if you're the Baal Koreh, you can still get the Aliyah as well. Others bring a minhag to not call the Baal Koreh, that he simply starts laning. You don't call him up because you don't want to make a big deal out of this. The Ramah writes in Kuf Lamed Tes and Gimel, Aval ein korim lo bishmok, mo shar ha'olim shekorim osam bishmam ploni bar ploni. The Ramah brings a general minhag that we don't follow. The Ramah's minhag is that whenever someone is the Baal Koreh, you never call them up for the aliyah. They just make the bracha. But that's not the minhag in most places. Actually, I don't think I've ever been in a shul where the Baal Koreh just isn't called up. But we can combine the Ramah over there with the idea of the tochacha to say that by the tochacha we wouldn't call up the Baal Koreh for the aliyah. And that is one minhag as well. The second minhag is brought by the Magen Avraham again in Tafav Ches. The Ma'aril is hikpid al mishiyal l'tocha to dafka hashamash sesochiros alakach engfeda. I guess in those days the gabbai was paid for whatever it was, so the gabbai of the shul should get the aliyah, and that's the opinion of the Magen Avraham in the shame of the Ma'aril. The third source is the Mekor HaChaim. I didn't bring the Mekor HaChaim because it's long in Kuf Mem Vav. He brings the meaning of giving the Tocha to a specific person. You can pick someone out of the crowd to give them the Tochacha as the Aliyah. The Minag of the Maharil adds, they don't call him by name. Instead, what they would say is, Yamod Mishi Yirtzeh. That's what it said. Whoever wants should come and get the Aliyah. And he says that this was only done by Parshas Kisavo because the Klalos are worse than Parshas Bechukosai. That's a discussion in the Gemara, and Megillah gets that later on. But the Darkei Moshe in Kuf Lametes says they would call Mishi Yama, Mishi Yirtzeh to the Klalos of Parshas Bechukosai as well. And the Ramah brings this as well in Tafaches Vav. Okay, next. Right, the Ramah says, V'chinogin shal likros echad v'shmo la'alos elakorin mishir, so we call it whoever it is. Now, why would they do this? Lavush says that they wouldn't call the Ola by name, because perhaps he'll back out from taking the Aliyah. Once you're called to the Aliyah by name, you have to take it. So if they don't call you, maybe you'll get scared going up, and you'll back out, and that'll be okay. The Chassam Sofer says here, that by not calling on the Ola by his name, we're showing that the Tochacha isn't designated for him. It's not his Tochacha, it's just someone who's getting the Aliyah. It's not coming on his name. The Leket Yosher, the Talmud of the Trumas Hadeshin, writes on page Nunhei that in these places they would offer a special Mishaberach for whoever got the Aliyah. I don't think we do that in many shuls nowadays. The Yitzbar Yosef in Simin Yud says that even in a shul where they don't give a Mishaberach, on this Shabbos they will give a Mishaberach for this person because of the terrible ideas inside the Aliyah. And in some places they would give him another Aliyah or maybe the Aliyah at Mincha to make up for it, some sort of consolation prize for having to take the Tochacha. The fourth Shita is the Knesset HaGadol. I didn't bring this as well. He says that the minig in his community was to give the Tocha to the rabbi because the rabbi is the person who's worthy of receiving the Musar. It has to be someone who's going to be able to accept the Musar. And the Shara Kavanos, the Arizal, says that this was the minig of the Arizal. The Arizal would take the Aliyahs of the Tochacha. And there's lists of different communities. If you look into Tzai Gavriel, he brings different communities where the Rabbanim were Machbid to take the Aliyah of the Tochacha. The last minig is from the Sefer Chasidim, that they would call an Am Haaretz, someone who's ignorant for the Tochacha, so that an Adam Chashur shouldn't read the Tochacha, and the words shouldn't end up being fulfilled. Right? We have a principle, Tzadik Gozer Mekayim, right? If a tzaddik says something, it's fulfilled. So you don't give it to a tzaddik, you give it to someone who's not so great. So then maybe, you know, the words of the Tochacha won't have any meaning in the long run.
Well, was that when the time when the person got the Aliyah still read it? Because today, the person doesn't read the Aliyah, so it's not...
Yeah, I'm not sure what...
It could fit in if 1,000 years ago.
I'm not sure. Okay, what about no Aliyah? Is it possible that there's no Aliyah for the Tochacha? So there was such a minag. The minag in Vizhnitz and Belz and places in Morocco was to not call an Ola for the Tochacha at all. And that the Ola doesn't even make a Birchas HaTorah. The Chazan would just read, no Birchas HaTorah on the Aliyah.
The previous person would finish,
and the Chazan would open the Torah and just read the Tochacha and close it, and then call the next Aliyah. That was
that as one of the Aliyahs.
What?
You would count it
technically from Aliyahs, but it wouldn't be presented as a usual Aliyah.
That should be a big problem. Historically, it was just the first person.
Correct, for sure. So this is cited by the Yemei Noam, the Tshuvas Machane Chaim, and Gimel Tazayin. This was also the minhag of Naftali of Rafshitz. So there was such a minhag before that existed. So, however, all of the Gedolei HaPoskim said this is wrong. The Sholu Meshiv and the Hara Carmel explained this, the minhag was not lechelchila. There was places, what happened was, there were places where the people refused to take the Aliyah. People were so scared of getting the Tochacha, they wouldn't even walk up to the Bima. They would go, do you want it? No, do you want it? No one would take it. So what they said was, better to do this than sit there all day. They were sitting there all day, you know, till the afternoon because no one would take the Aliyah. So they said, better to do this than to have nothing at all. The brother of the Maharil writes in the Sefer HaChaim, the last source on the page, V'shamatni ki zakin echad, shira b'kihilos anvard, ki b'shabbos al parsha tofa, they saw them in the Shabbos of the parsha of the Tofa, amda ha-sefer Torah pasuach, b'bizayon kamashos, the Torah would sit there in bizayon, in disgrace, because no one would read from it. Shalhayakam mi shirot alos, because no one wanted to take the Aliyah. And the Bir Halacha, the Chafetz Chaim writes also as well, V'nei Ra'isi, She'arura, Be'inyan Zeb, Be'in HaHamon, She'esh Mekavos, Min HaYishuvim, people out in the boondocks, where people weren't so familiar. B'hagiyam l'seder b'chukosa b'chisavu, when they got to these parshios, ein korim b'torah b'shabazu, they wouldn't even read the Torah. They were so scared that they would skip Kriyas HaTorah. So they felt better to do this than to do nothing at all. This is, they prefer the option of not being called and there be no brachos. However, comes Rosh Shlomo Kluger in the Elef Lecha Shlomo and Orachaim and Simon Samach Gimel. He says, Hinei Ram Ma'od Minhag Zeh. This is a bad minhag. Ushtayim Ros. There's two problems. Asu Echa Deniros Mavaza HaTochachos Va'over Al Musa Hashem B'nei Al Timas. You're disgracing Hashem's Musar. The Pasuk says you shouldn't hate rebuke. Rebuke makes us better. Va'od David Bizayon Leguf HaTorah. What about the physical Sefer Torah? The Al Kol HaParshios Mevarchen V'Al Ze'ein Mevarchen Havi Bizayon HaTorah. Every other parsha in the Torah gets a Birchas HaTorah, and this doesn't, says Rosh Shlomo Kluger, totally unacceptable. He goes on to suggest that you should have a lottery. Everybody's name goes into a hat. If you don't want it, pick out the name from the hat, and he's the lucky winner, and he gets the Tochacha. The objection to no one saying the brachos is also the opinion of the Minchas Elazar, Mechelek Aleph, the Avnei Tzedek, Rav Moshe, as a Shuvan Arachayim, Beis Lamed Hei, as is Rav Adjo, Sefin Yabia Omer, Chelek Zayin, that this is a mistaken minhag, it should be abolished. We make a Birchas HaTorah, and there's a regular Aliyah. While this is true that the Mishnah Megillah, Chaf Aleph, says that they used to only make a Birchas HaTorah before the first Ola than after the first Ola, so maybe you'll say, what's the problem? Who cares if I don't make a bracha on the Aliyah of the Tochacha? They didn't do it in the past, so that there was a Takana, Bizman the Gemara anymore. Once the Takana is in place, that the Ola, each Ola makes his own bracha, so then you still have to fulfill the Takana as is. And seemingly, there's a greater inyan that this parsha should have brachos before and after. Why? Because the Maseches Sofrim writes that there's a bracha before and after the Aliyah B'Tochacha. Meaning the Maseches Sofrim goes out of its way to tell us that there's a bracha on the Aliyah B'Tochacha. So even in that time, the Maseches Sofrim is already in the period of the Mishnah and the Gemara, it's explicitly stating it should have its own brachos. And the Shulchan Aruch writes in Kuflam, a test that every Ola has to make a Birchas HaTorah before and after. How could you go against the Shulchan Aruch? The Netziv has a tshuv in the Meshiv Davar, the famous tshuv about the Hachnasa Sefer Torah, where the Baal HaBas who donated it took the Torah out of the Aron Kodesh and decided to lean it there like in the middle of the week on a Tuesday. So they asked the Netziv, was that okay? So in the course of that tshuva, the Netziv says that every Kriyas HaTorah with the minyan requires a bracha, even if it's not a designated time. And that's why we make the bracha when we read Simchas Torah night. If you have a minyan and you read the Torah, says the Netziv, it demands a Birchas HaTorah. And therefore, the Tochacha, which was designated by Chazal and Ezra, certainly requires a bracha before and after. Let's get to the way in which we read it. Okay? That's what we're most familiar with. The quiet, mumbling tones of the Tochacha. So the Gemara in Megillah says in Daf Lamed Aleph from Beis, Ein mafsikin beklolos el echad koreas kulon. First, we have to discuss the breaking up. My apologies. We know that it's one long aliyah. We don't break it up. The Gemara gives two reasons why. One, in Mishlei it says, Musar Hashem al Timas, don't hate Musar. If I stop in the middle of the aliyah, what is that showing? That I'm afraid of the Musar. You have to hear the whole Musar all at once. Don't break it up. The second thing is, we don't make a bracha on terrible things. Right? We don't make a we always begin or end the aliyah with something positive. So if that's the case, I can't stop in the middle, because what's going to happen? That means the bracha on the next aliyah is going to be on something negative. So it has to be all at once with a border beforehand. The Yushalmi Megillah gives reasons that mimic the Bavli, similar to the Bavli's explanations. Now the Gemara adds, and I forgot to bring it, Amar Abai lo shanu ela beklalo shebetoros kohanim, ava klalo shebemishna Torah posek. The Gemara says that we do make a hefsek for Parshas Kisavo and only leave the whole thing intact for the Parshas in Vayikra. Therefore, Mi'ikra Din, we can make a hefsek for the Tochacha and Parshas Kisavo. However, comes the Rambam, and the Rambam says that's not the Minag. The Minag was that even by Parshas Kisavo, we read the whole Tochacha together in one unit. And he doesn't really give an explanation.
So the hours, because we make a hefsek after the hours before the, what we call a Tochacha. but they've been calling the outer parts just before Tochas part.
No. It's definitely the whole. It's its own thing. It's definitely its own thing. The Rambam simply says we don't. That's not the minhag. We're machmer on the Gemara. The Gemara says you can make hefsek. The Rambam says the minhag is to treat it the same way as parshas b'chukosai. A single person reads them in their entirety, and this is the halacha in the Shulchan Aruch as well in Tafach Chasvav. You see in the last source. Now the Abu Draham, the Sefer Amanig, says the minhag is to not make a hefsek in parshas Kisavo is based on the Yushami and Megillah. The Yushami says that the Tochach and parshas Kisavo needs a bracha before and after, and that only one person should get the aliyah for the Tochacha, which is seemingly against the Bavli. So the Rambam is simply following the Yushalmi that says that it's all one unit and it should be treated as such. And the Karen Oder brings the same suggestion. Tosis in Megillah says, obviously we don't do it beforehand because we know that we also don't make a bracha on the Parsha. We don't separate the Parsha if it's less than three Pesukim before the break. So we pull it back even three Pesukim beforehand to fulfill that opinion as well. Okay, let's do a few more points. And regarding how we stand and the way it's read. Standing near the Baal Koreh, right? The Baal Koreh saying, you're the Ola, you're the Gavai. And the Baal Koreh saying all these terrible things. Do you want to stand right next to him? So there's the Gemara in Shavuos and Daf Lamed Hei that tells us that there's an inyan to not stand next to someone who's saying curses, who's saying terrible things. The Mishnah has such a discussion. The Gemara goes on to repeat this as well, that if you want to say something negative, even if you're reading from the, even if it's not about the person in front of you, you should say it in third person. Because you want to show that it's not about you. Even though I'm just quoting a pasuk or I'm quoting an idea, it should and someone's in front of me, I shouldn't say it as if I'm directing it towards them. It's not appropriate. However, obviously we cannot change the Tochacha to third person. We can't go and change the language of the Torah. So what are we supposed to do? So the Igra de Pirka, the Bnei Yisachar and the Darchei Chaim Shalom were makbid that no one stand in front or on the sides of the Baal Koreh when he read the Tochacha. Everyone has to clear away. You can't stand next to them, only behind him. And what's the problem with the minhag? Is that the Levush and the Mishnah Berurah write in Kuf Mem Aleph, you have to have three people standing around the Baal Koreh. So certainly this is based on Masechta Sofrim, and at the end of the day, we don't do that. The minhag is that everybody stands around and we don't move away from the bima. Now, there was also a minhag brought by the Knesset HaGadola to say the pasuk of Mishle of Musar Hashem Bini Al Timas, don't hate Hashem's Musar. The Magen Avraham brings this, the Elia Rabba brings this, then the Baal Koreh would say this out loud. But Ruchaim Palaji writes in the Sefer Ruchaim in Tes Zayin Lama Gimel that the minute we don't say this. Has anyone ever been in a shul where they say this beforehand? No, nobody does this. We don't say Pesukim before we read the Torah. Again, let's turn now to the most famous part, the quiet issue. So the Gemara in Megillah Lamed Aleph and Beis says that Levi Barbuti was have a Kare v'kamegam game. He would read it, but be megam game. What does that mean, he'd be megam game? So Rashi says he would mutter hurriedly, quickly reciting the Tochacha in a very hushed tone, because he was distressed by them. And Rav Huna told him that if you want, you can stop in the middle of the Klalos of Dvarim if you're so distressed, right? If you're so bothered by reading them in Parshas Kisavo, so take a break. And the Klalos Rabbah has a different version, but saying the same thing, essentially that they would read the Tochacha hurriedly, quietly. This has been the minhag since the time of the Gemara. So Rabbeinu Manoach and the Kesef Mishnah say that this medrash is the source of reading the Tochacha quietly, and based on these sources, there's only an inyan to read the Tochacha quietly in Parshas B'chukosai, right? Because the Gemara said that you can break it up by Parshas Kisavo. But what do we know? We know, based on the Tshuvas Knesset HaGadol and Siman Samachay, that the Rambam told us that we treat B'chukosai and Kisavo the same. We don't differentiate between how we treat them, and therefore, also Parshas Kisavo, the minhag is that we read it quietly and quickly without a hefsek. And this is the minhag as well in this coming week's Parsha. Lamaisa, this includes, essentially means from Pasuk Tesvav until Pasuk Samaches. Those Pesukim of Perek Chavches, Vayayim Lo Tishma until the Ein Koneh are where we read quietly. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch in Ein Ches Dalad and the Kitzos HaShulchan note that the Pasuk of L'Yuras Hashem HaNichbad V'Hanora HaZes Hashem Elokecha in the middle of Pasuk Nun Ches we do say out loud. The Kehila in Vermais would read this pasuk quietly, and the Shulchan HaKriya brings different psukim as well. They would make no mention of saying this pasuk out loud. Now, the Pri Chadash tells us even if you read it quietly, everyone still has to hear it. You can't read the Tocha so quietly that no one knows what's going on. It has to be loud enough that a person can still follow the Kriyas HaTorah. If you can't hear it, then you're not Yotzei, says the Pri Chadash. So it has to be quiet and quickly, but not too quiet and not too quickly. Some people would also read the Tochacha quicker based on this, right, Rashi said before. This would read it quietly, and the Arizal was against this. The Arizal says you should not change the way the Tochacha is read. It should be done as normal, and this is probably based on the Bavli, right? Because the Bavli said that it should be done, not be done that differently.
You said before, if I recall, the Ari actually took the Leah for it, right?
Yeah, so the Ari is not...
It's opposite system that he's
not afraid of the Torah.
He's not afraid of it. Correct. Afraid of it. He's saying that it's part of the Torah. You can't sell it, don't treat it differently. The fact that the Torah says something good or bad things doesn't change the Torah. It
correct. 100%. Chaim Pelagi wanted to be mevatel this minhag because he says sometimes the Ola gets insulted that his Aliyah is so shvach. The person who gets the Aliyah is like, this is how you read my Aliyah? Quietly and quickly, that I paid good money for this Aliyah. So so Chaim Pelagi says maybe we should get rid of this, but clearly it's not the minhag. I think every single Beis HaKnesses
make a big thing before I keep Lishvachim, it's a big deal. But I mean, most shows I've been before this were not making a big deal. I've been, but, you know, as treating it that drastically, called them, though. And then they didn't feel so than I would feel. So what's the big deal? That this. There's everything bad in the Torah too. I mean, the bad the makos. So it's part of the Torah.
But clearly, Chazal went out of their way to highlight. I'm saying,
to say you don't even get a meal. It's bad. We don't do the whole story. We have the makos. We have when the Jews were imprisoned.
True. But so whatever. I just want to end with. We just have a few more minutes. I think it would be remiss not to bring just a famous and beautiful story about reading the Tochacha in its form, with the famous story of the Kloisenberger Rebbe. This is Rabbi Riskin records the story when he was right after his bar mitzvah. In Brooklyn, he went to daven in the Kloisenberger Shibbol after the Kloisenberger Rebbe had come to America. He had lost 11 children, his wife, and just to listen to this amazing account. So Rabbi Riskin writes, he said, I've never been to this particular shul before. This renovated hospital turns into a synagogue about 2 miles from where I grew up in Brooklyn, nor had I ever prayed with Hasidim, but the Kloisenberger Rebbe was particularly well known as a saintly Hasidic Rebbe who had resettled those of his Hasidim who had survived the Holocaust in and around the Beth Moses Hospital in Bedford-Stuyvesant section of Brooklyn. And so, one summer morning in 1952 on Shabbos of Kisavo, I set out from my home on Hart Street to the world of black gabardines and round fur hats, eager for the opportunity to be in the presence of a truly holy man and to experience a Hasidic prayer service. I arrived at the huge study hall even before the morning service had begun, and although I was the only pre-bar mitzvah boy in the congregation not wearing a black gabardine, I guess kapata, I felt swept up by the intensity of the people praying, swaying and shouting as though they suspected the Almighty might not bend his ear, as it were, to a quieter service of the heart. Then came the Torah reading. In accordance with the custom, the Torah reader began to chant the warnings, the Tochacha, in a whisper. And unexpectedly, almost inaudibly, but unmistakably, the Yiddish word, hecher, louder, came from the direction of the lectern upon which the Rebbe was leaning at the eastern wall of the synagogue. The Torah reader stopped reading for a few moments. The congregants looked up from their chumashim in questioning, and even mildly shocked silence. Could they have heard the Rebbe correctly? Was he ordering the Torah reader to go against the time-honored custom and chant the Tochacha out loud? The Torah reader continued to read in a whisper, apparently concluding that he had not heard what he had thought he heard. And then the Rebbe banged on his lectern, turned to face the stunned congregation, and cried in Yiddish, with a pained expression on his face and fire blazing in his eyes, I said louder, read these verses out loud. We have nothing to fear. We have already experienced the curses. Let the master of the universe hear them. Let him know that the curses have already befallen us, and let him know that it's time for him to send the blessings. So the Rebbe turned back to the wall, and the Torah reader continued slowly chanting the cantillation out loud. I was trembling, with tears cruising down my cheeks, my body bathed in sweat. I had heard that the Rebbe lost his wife and 11 children in the Holocaust, but refused to sit shiva for them because he could not spare a moment from the task of trying to save Jewish lives by enabling them to leave Europe. He himself refused a visa for America until the majority of his chassidim had been saved. His words seared in my heart. I could hardly concentrate on the conclusion of the Torah reading. It's time for him to send the blessings. After the Musaf service ended, the Rebbe rose to speak. His words were again short and to the point, But this time his eyes were warm with love, leaving an indelible expression upon my mind and soul. My beloved brothers and sisters, he said, pack up your belongings. We must make one more move, hopefully the last one. Hashem promises that the blessings which must follow the curses will now come. They will come, but not from America. The blessings will only come from Israel. It's time for us to go home. And so, Kiryat Sanz, Kloisenberg, was established in Netanya, where the Rebbe built a Torah center as well as the Laniato Medical Center. So, certainly, we should all be good bench. We should be blessed to have only the brachos and skip over the klalos for another year.